Praise the Lord, Grace Church. It is so good to see all of you here on campus. I welcome you. And why don't you just tell somebody sitting nearby that you are glad to see them here tonight. Tell them you look good. Those joining us on Facebook Live and live stream, we can't see you tonight, but you can see us, and we're happy that you have chosen to be part of our service tonight. May it be a blessing to you. I do want to begin tonight by just reminding you of a couple of things. Usually around, you know, the first of the month, the first week or so, we like to remind everyone of their Move the Mission. I'm sorry, got Move the Mission on the brain. Mission Louisiana pledges, the pledges we made for the campground improvements. So do remember that if you haven't already honored your commitment there for this month. And then we're right about, I think, right at the 30-day mark or so from when we made pledges for the Benson family, the Benin mission. And so if you have not had a chance to get those monies in, if you pledged to that mission, then be sure to do that as soon as possible. And you can just write, if you're giving online, just go right to that Global Missions tab and give it to Global Missions, and it will get to the right place from there. So I wanted to make you aware of that and remind you of that. Stand with me this evening. And I just want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Didn't we have a great time in prayer last night? Praying for our campuses, our students. Amen. Amen. Yes, we did. And I believe that God heard our prayers, is going to do great things. And we're just going to keep it going. How many students start school tomorrow? How many started today? Is anybody that started today? So it looks like most of them start tomorrow. So tomorrow's the big day. We'll try to get you out of here tonight before midnight, since you have to go to school tomorrow. How's that sound? Amen. But tonight, let's just pray for our service, Kids Church, of course, upstairs. And we want to hear from the Lord. We want to fellowship with His presence. We want to know that when we leave here tonight, that surely we were in the presence of the Lord. So let's pray together tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we enter in tonight with praise. I am so thankful, Lord, for what You're doing in our church. Thank You for what You're doing in our families. I thank You for what You're doing, Lord, in our community, Lord. I just know You're doing great things, Lord. We see them, and then by faith we see what's on the horizon. And so, Lord, we release our faith tonight. We release our prayer tonight, knowing that when we pray, You hear, Lord. And I pray for the service tonight, God, that Your anointing would be with us, that You would speak to our minds and our hearts. Lord, anointing Kids Church tonight, Lord. And we just will be very careful to give You all of the praise and all of the glory. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord before you're seated. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. I'm so thankful tonight for Pastor. And I told him Sunday, I said, I feel like I owe you an apology. We just were kind of having a little bit of fun Sunday. We were excited and celebrating our baptismal candidates and those that had gotten baptized. And when I turned the service over to him to preach Sunday, I felt like I didn't give him a proper introduction. Just it was kind of all in the moment. And of course, he said, "Don't worry about it, no big deal." But Pastor deserves honor, and I'm here tonight to give him honor. We love our pastor. Would you make Pastor welcome tonight as he comes to the pulpit? God bless. God bless you. We love you, Pastor.
Well, good to see everybody here tonight. So thankful that you're here. And we welcome all of you to our Wednesday night Bible study. I'm glad to see Sister Sarah here tonight. Brother James was at prayer last night, and I asked him if Sister Sarah was here. And he said, "No, she's home with a real bad headache." And I said, "Well, her headache is here." He understands my humor, so saw them sitting back there. I love Brother James and Sister Sarah dearly, and they've been at Grace Church a long time, over 25 years, and we're thankful for this sweet, sweet family. It's such a blessing, but I had to just take this moment to kind of throw Brother James under the bus. We swap that kind of stuff back and forth all the time. The big difference is that I have the microphone usually when I do mine. So it's kind of not fair, but hey, is what it is. Thank the Lord. It's great to see you. Great service Sunday. And so thankful for the excitement that was here Sunday. It was electrifying and so many things to celebrate. And I want to continue our Bible study. And we've talked about having a healthy relationship with God and so on. How to hear from God, prayer life, and then into spiritual warfare right now for tonight. But I am happy to report to you guys that we are, especially to our prayer team, our intercessors and so on, we are seeing a breakthrough of things that are happening with families and so on that 3 or 4 months ago looked virtually impossible. And I'm so thankful that prayers are being heard and God is doing some amazing things. And I know sometimes it's just a church member that what have you. Y'all don't always have my point of view. Don't see it from my chair, if you will. But it's wonderful to see folks come in. It's wonderful to see people baptized that you know people have prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. It's great to see people come into church that you know people have prayed for and prayed for. And now all of a sudden that's happening. In about 3 or 4 different instances, that's happening. So I want to thank our prayer team. I want to encourage our prayer team to keep praying, keep trusting God. The Spirit of the Lord is breaking through, and I'm so happy about it. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let me jump into our presentation tonight. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to make a presentation. We had missionary, and then we were going to nationals and whatnot. So I want to do a very quick, speedy review of the material that I started 5 or 6 weeks ago. And not sure if I'll finish it tonight or not. I thought I would, but I may or may not. We'll see. But I'll go as quickly as I can. We first presented to you on how to hear from God, which is basically your pathway to having a healthy relationship with God, how to hear from God and so on, is through the conduit of prayer. That's between your prayer life and your knowledge of the Word of God. It's your two great sources, resources to hear from God, and then of course having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we focused in on a prayer life, not teaching you how to pray, what to say when you pray, but your attitude or your perspective on when you pray. And there's a lot of promises in the Bible given from God to man, over 6,000 of them. And to receive them, to have faith for them and so on, as much as faith is important, your attitude is important. So you're to hear from God, to have a healthy relationship with God, is first of all, it's based on what you do or what you do not do. It's based on what you believe, and it's based on what you say, and we talked about that. I spent a couple of Wednesday nights on prayer standards. There's an attitude, a posture, a spirit that you go to God. When you go to God in prayer, it's necessary that you have the right attitude, the right spirit, and the right posture. I talked to you about unselfish worship. I talked to you about an unforgiving spirit. I talked to you about having an unbalanced home, unbelief, unconfessed sins, impure motives. All of these things are roadblocks to having prayers answered. I talked to you about how does God reach us through prayer. I'm just going through this real speedily just to get all of us back on the same page, if you will. With those things being said, there's a whole nother aspect of this that we talked about, and that is in purifying yourselves, to stay pure, to have clean hands, to have a clean heart, clean thoughts, what have you. If you do not, it can be a roadblock into hearing from God. And then several Wednesday nights ago, we introduced spiritual warfare. And I want to make it clear to everybody here again, spiritual warfare is spiritual. And we have to understand that. When you step into the arena of prayer, you will not only make yourself open to God, His will, and His purpose, but you also open yourself up to the deception and the trickery of the devil. You don't step into the spiritual world and then get to pick which aspect you want to be involved with or not. Spirituality is spirituality, and God comes to you, the devil will come to you, and so on. We talked about that. It's what I would call the totality of spirituality. So you cannot step into the arena of spirituality without opening yourself up to God and all the trickery of the devil. So this is why you must have your faith intact, not to be doubting, not to be negative. Your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God must be steadfast. This is prayer standards. This is hearing from God and then spiritual warfare when, as the old-timers used to testify about when I was a kid, they'd have testimony service, and I remember one lady stood up and said, "The devil's been on my back all week long, bless his holy name." They'd testify about the devil more than they would about God. But your knowledge and understanding of the Word of God must be steadfast. Don't be afraid, but be confident. We talked to you about that. God will help you, and He will sustain you during times of spiritual warfare. Yes, He will. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear. So we talked about those things. And then we talked to you about spiritual warfare is fought in basically two areas. First of all, it's a spiritual thing. But the first area where a lot of spiritual warfare is fought is in your mind. It's in your mind, your thoughts, your attitude, your perspective. Carnal people have a hard time discerning that. They have a hard time understanding that. You do a lot of dumb stuff. You're easily tempted. You're easily knocked off your feet. You're easily discouraged, depressed, all of that. A lot of that is the devil uses our mind, our thoughts, and our attitude, our perspective, and so on. It's where spiritual warfare is fought. That's our one area is our mind. And then we looked at the scripture when we introduced that thought in 2 Corinthians 10:4, that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations of every high thing that exalted itself above or against the knowledge of God, and so on. We talked about that. I'm just, again, trying to get everybody back on the same page. So with that in mind, and I remember the last Wednesday night I taught this. Y'all might remember I walked from side to side and I shared with y'all some personal stories about some moments I've had personally with a demonic and whatnot. It's a real thing, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. You don't fear the devil. He's very powerful and so on, but when you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're okay unless you allow it to happen. And I believe it's just that simple. So to jump into our material for tonight, I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," or the trickery of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God," he said it twice, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So the question that I want to introduce to you first tonight in this presentation is the what. What is important for us to do when you are a prayer warrior, you want to be a prayer warrior? I've given you prayer standards about your attitude and posture. Again, I can't emphasize enough, if that's not all the way it should be, prayer's going to be challenging. Hearing from God's going to be challenging. Having prayers answered is going to be challenging. So if you're at this point now where you feel like you want to progress in your relationship with God, you want to become more mighty in prayer, you want to be more effective in prayer, and so on. If you want to be that, what is the what? Paul addressed that. He said to be strong in the Lord. That's a generic sounding statement, but we have to understand how important and vital it is. If you're unstable, if you're weak, if you're susceptible to temptation, all that, it's going to be very hard to be strong in the Lord. This is why your knowledge of the Word of God has to be steadfast, and you have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Is everybody with me? I don't want to feel like I'm teaching an 8-year-old Sunday school class today. No offense to our 8-year-olds. I want everybody to understand what level of spirituality I'm addressing you at. This is where, in your mind and then in some areas of your life, you're going to face the demonic in one way or another. And I want to have you understand what that's about and what your posture should be. Paul said, when you have those moments, you be strong in the Lord. The devil thrives on human weakness. Does everybody understand that? Say amen. Amen. If you don't understand it, it'll make me feel better. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul exhorted believers to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not being afraid of the devil ever. You are strong in the Lord, and you are strong in the power of God's might. The terminology, if you will, another translation of that, if you will, is to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That is, it's power that overcomes resistance. It's when you're battling a spirit, you're battling things in your life, and it don't want to give up. It don't want to quit. It don't want to submit. It don't want to go away. It doesn't want to stop. This is what Paul is addressing here. It's the moment he's addressing. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That is power that overcomes resistance. This is the posture Jesus had when he performed miracles. When he was here as a man walking the earth, this is the posture he had when he was performing miracles, when he performed miracles. For example, when he calmed the storm, he did that in the power of his might, or he manifested power that overcame the resistance. He overpowered the resistance. He didn't run. He didn't negotiate. He didn't compromise. He was the victor. The ultimate illustration of this is when he resurrected from the dead. I'm not sure if y'all are on board with me yet or not. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, y'all understand, there's a physical battle going on here. He's dealing with Mary and Martha, and they did not have the proper posture to have their prayer answered. Jesus was just kind and resurrected him from the dead anyway. But I can promise you, the devil did not want that to happen, because all it was going to do is glorify God and glorify God's power and show God's might and show all the people that God is more powerful and God can do anything, whatever. The devil doesn't want that to happen. We understand that. So Jesus had an attitude and a posture. He was strong, and he manifested the power of his might by overcoming that was resistant to him, including death itself. Paul goes on, and this translation to help us understand what God is saying, it's that power that overcomes resistance. It's God's inherent strength that nothing has the capability of defeating God. That's why Jesus said, and understand the context a little bit better, Jesus said, with men, things are impossible, but with God, nothing or all things are possible. God can overcome any and all resistance, and that's the posture that he's given to the church, and that's why the church has never been defeated in the past 2,000 years, and that's why it's not going to be defeated now, because God has given the church. What did Jesus tell Simon Peter? Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He has power that overcomes resistance. It's God's inherent strength. So when Paul said to be strong in the Lord, that's what he means. He gives you power to overcome any spiritual resistance that the devil can throw in front of you. We need to hear that. You need to understand that. That's why I stressed in a couple of our Bible studies and the recent Wednesday nights that when you feel like you're under an attack, the solution to that is not to get on Facebook and Instagram and call 8 people in the church. The thing for you to do is go find a prayer closet somewhere and you stay there until you come out victorious. That's how that works. I want everybody to understand what I'm talking about. If your spouse is being an idiot, you can pray for them for your entire lifetime. And it may change, it may not. But when it's a devil, and sometimes it's easy to get the two confused. When it's a spirit, when it's a demon, when the devil's throwing everything at you, I believe tonight when the enemy comes in like a flood, God can overpower him with resistance. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, so Paul is saying the first step in spiritual warfare is to be strong in the Lord, be strong in faith. I told you the story a couple of Wednesday nights ago. What part I didn't tell, I'll tell tonight, about the man that came to our church on a Sunday night. God spoke to me and said he wanted to deliver that man that night, and he did. And as we started praying for that man, he was a big man. Anyway, he hit the floor and started slithering like a serpent. Now, you understand, if this is our platform, I just prayed with this man. It's not this tall. It's about half this, was about high, half this height. And the front row was about halfway from here, about halfway right here. And there were two women standing on the front row just yapping away, having a good old time. And I popped them. And they looked up at me and I said, shut up and pray. Now, they didn't get offended. They had some maturity about them and they understood. I need some strength here. I need some backup. I want all of us to be on the same page. One thing the devil cannot handle is unity. And I unified that little group of people that was standing there. Most of them were praying, but there were two women chatting with this man slithering on the floor. And I got their attention and said, pray. Just be quiet and pray. And they did. So it was a manifestation of strength and unity, and it worked. So that's the what when you are facing a spirit, what have you. The how. How do you be strong in the Lord? This is it sounds like a Sunday school class lesson, but it's the power of it is unbelievable. Paul said to put on God's armor. What the Bible is saying here is that to put on, the words put on, God's armor, to put on indicates that we are responsible for putting on God's full armor. That's our job to do that. We don't put on our own armor, and we don't expect God to just swoop down and do something real quick. This is what we do. The impetus is on us. It's not for us to turn tail and run until God puts his armor on us, until we get armor on. Instantaneously, you're strong in the Lord. You put on the whole armor, the full armor of God. That is, you draw from every resource in your mind, in your heart, your knowledge, your memory, whatever you have instantaneous access to, you draw from that. And that becomes your defense, if you will. Where this is leading, I'm going to come to this in just a second. This isn't us going after the devil. This isn't us attacking the devil. It's when he comes to us. The what is to be strong in the Lord. The how to be strong in the Lord is by putting on the full armor of God. In other words, you don't leave something out. You don't leave an important part of faith out. You don't put your own ideas in here. You have an understanding of the Word of God. You have an understanding of who you are. I talked about this in our adult Sunday school class Sunday. You know your identity. You're a child of God. You've been born again. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You have the name of Jesus. You put all of that on and shows no weakness whatsoever. No weakness. I'm not going to flounder here. I'm not going to scratch my head. I'm not going to get on the phone with somebody for 10 minutes and then come back and deal with it. It's a mindset. And if you rehearse it enough and you experience it enough, for lack of a better word, then when you recognize an evil spirit around you in whatever capacity it comes, it becomes automatic. This is just what you do. So the what is to be strong in the Lord, how is to put on the God's armor, why? To stand against the devil's strategy against us. To stand against the devil's strategy against us. The purpose of putting on God's armor is to be able to stand against the schemes or stratagems of the devil or our adversary. Now listen very carefully. The Bible does not address or gives us any command for us to attack Satan or to advance against him. Christian people are taught to stand. Stand your ground. I talked about that couple of Wednesday nights ago. You stand your ground or you hold the territory that God and the church has conquered. This is why compromise is such a mistake for people to make. You give up ground that the church has battled for, that you've battled for. You give all that up, and to take it back is far more challenging than it was when you first did it. So without God's armor, believers will be defeated by the schemes of the devil, which have been effective for thousands of years in people. If we don't see that happening around us virtually every day, it happens. It happens. It happens. If you don't see it, I don't know what to say. The devil plots everything he can against the church and the individual people in the church. He's done it for thousands of years. He knows you very well, your personality, your weaknesses, and all that. That's why Paul said that we struggle not. The struggle is not physical. It's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual conflict. It's a spiritual conflict. So though the ranks of satanic forces cannot be fully categorized, the first two that Paul introduces to us is principalities and powers. This is rulers and authorities. This is why he says to outfit yourself in the whole armor of God. And you, the devil resists the church. He resists the church every day, every minute, every hour of every day. And his posture, he comes as a ruler or an authority. And that's why the Bible teaches us to resist that. We're not going to cave into that. We're not going to give into that. And so on. It's the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. The spiritual realm, the demonic and the spiritual realm, that's their circle of activity, is the spiritual realm. I did talk to you again a couple of Wednesday nights ago that the devil can manifest himself in the physical realm. Yes, he can. And he does, he has, and he will continue to do that until Jesus comes, I suppose. But Satan, whose origin began in the heavens, is trying to rob believers of the spiritual blessings God has given them. And all he wants, listen to Pastor tonight, all the devil wants is for you to not be right with God. That's all he wants. If he can achieve that, he's good. He's happy as a lark. If he can cause you in any way that he can, you have to understand that. We look at people who have addictions, dope addicts. We look at people who, serial killers. We look at people who we categorize as just they're bad people. They have challenges. Who knows what's happened to them? Whatever. And we have this propensity to be thankful that we're not like that. Okay, the devil may not be battling you on that front, but he is battling you on some front. And he does it every day, every day, every day. He's unrelenting. He don't quit. He don't stop. He don't quit. He don't stop. He'll nag, 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 temp, temp, temp. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If you're right with God, the devil has your number. And all he wants to do is to cause you to not be right with God so that you don't die and go to heaven, or you're not raptured and go to heaven. He knows no bounds and does not care what he has to do to make this happen. I've seen families, there's families here tonight that have lost loved ones. There's families here tonight that have lost kids, grandkids. Tragic. Tragic. There's one right now in my head that I think of often. I don't go as far as to say the devil caused that to happen. But when things do happen, he will absolutely seize the moment to pound you with grief, to pound you in questioning God, to pound you in questioning the Word of God, to question your faith. What is it? Faith did me any good anyway. If I had faith in God and God allowed this out, whatever. He will pound you and pound you and pound you every day, every day, every day. He'll use family conflicts. He'll use marital conflicts. He'll use problems with your kids, problems on the job. You have to understand, nobody, no flesh on this planet that's human is exempt from the attack of the devil on some level. Doesn't matter. We have to understand that. So it's a spiritual thing, and he comes to us all the time, every day. It doesn't matter. So Paul said in Ephesians 6:13 again, he summarizes. Remember a few moments ago I said he repeated this again. He's summarizing what has been stated. He said that having made all the necessary preparations, you have on the full armor of God, one is then ready and able to stand in defense of what God has given you, what God has provided for you, and so on. The word stand in verse 13 means to stand or withstand against. God gives you the power of resistance. You're not blown over. You're not washed away. You're not put away. You're not defeated. God gives you the power to come against what's coming at you in the form of evil. I don't know if you remember when Brother Greg Albritton was here on Father's Day, he used the scripture setting. And he talked about to stand and withstand. Withstand is your last option. And you bottom line point your finger in the face of the opposition and said, I'm not falling down today. I'm not going to quit today. I'm not going to stop today. I don't know how today's going to end, but all day today, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to have the right attitude. I'm going to have the right spirit. I don't know how many of you know, and I know there's a house full here tonight that does know how this feels. But when you've been betrayed by a minister, when you've been betrayed by a fellow saint, and they've offended you and they've hurt you, don't think for one minute that the devil is not going to pounce all over that and do everything he can to cause you to backslide. Our area is full of backsliders tonight that's had that happen to them. And I know a lot of them. For whatever reason, when they were attacked by that spirit, apparently, for whatever reason, they didn't have the recollection to put on the whole armor of God, and they allowed their feelings to supersede their spirituality, and it destroyed them. And they're not in church today. This is what I'm talking about, folks. We have to understand to do the right thing, to stand and withstand our feelings that the devil is literally using against us. You don't quit, you don't stop, no matter what. You say, well, that's easy for you to say you're a preacher. You don't think these things ever happened to me? You know how it feels to work with somebody for 4 or 5 years and they just hop up and say, we're going to go do something else and we're not going to be a Grace Church anymore. Does anybody know how that feels? Hurts really bad. Hurts real bad. And the devil will pound this pastor for weeks and weeks and weeks over it. And you walk to the pulpit, you feel defeated, and you feel like you failed, and the devil is just pounding and pounding and pounding. So pastors go through that, trust me. They get hurt just like everybody else does. But you have to stand your ground. I told somebody the other night, we've been here for 31 years. Can't tell you how many times this has happened that we've repeated this process. But we're still here. We're still here. I don't know what that means to anybody, but we're still here. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The battles, the battles, the battles, the battles. But I'm hard-headed. I can say that, but you can't. You just don't quit. You just don't quit. In your relationship with God, you take quit out of your vocabulary. You stand and you fight it out. I could talk a long time about that. So the first area that spiritual warfare really happens, probably the most prolific area that it happens, is in our mind. It's the way you think and it's the way you feel. He uses your thoughts and your emotions against you. The second area is your environment. It's what you allow yourself to be subjected to. If we consistently expose ourselves to worldly and sinful environments, we will have difficulty in hearing from God and having a healthy relationship with God. I've come to understand why we've been taught through the years, most of us have, that there are some worldly amusements. It may not be a sin to do it, but it's not healthy to do it. It's not in your best interest to do it. I could talk a long time about that. But God gives you enough knowledge of the Word of God and understanding of the Word of God. There's things you don't do. You just don't do it. When your spouse says, well, I want to do that, you may not be able to control what they do, but you don't have to do it. You don't subject your family, your kids, to environments that are worldly and sinful, saying it's not going to hurt them. Yes, it will. If we associate with people who are sinful and worldly, if you associate with people who are full of doubt, people that gossip and question everything and have a negative attitude and spirit towards God and towards the ministry and towards the church, it will have an effect and influence in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own thoughts. After a while, it will start taking its toll and it will hinder you from getting a word from God, to getting an answer from God, to getting a prayer answered, to know how to get a prayer answered, to be able to fight, have any spiritual strength at all to fight off anything. I can stand here for a long time and name person after person after person. There's a person I'm thinking of right now that sat in my living room and lectured Sister Murphy and I on how a family member was living sinfully, and they know better, and this person was preaching to the choir. Now this person's living the same way. Hence why pastor preaches the way I do. I've seen these things happen, and you're no exception. I know somebody, to our students here tonight, that I'm going to date somebody that's not in church, and I will win them to God. Sometimes that happens. But the other thing that happens, you're rolling the dice, if you will. You're gambling, if you will, because oftentimes they'll pull you out of church. John wrote in his epistle, and you hear it and you've heard it, but the truth of it is now becoming very evident. 1 John 2:15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Now, I know it sounds like clothesline preaching, and there goes Pastor down that holiness route and all that stuff. This is a canopy that keeps you right with God and helps fight off spirits that come into your mind, your home, your marriage, you as a parent, you as a student. This is your lifeline. If you love the world or anything in the world, it becomes an idol to you. It becomes a greater priority than serving God, being in church, and so on. You're on a very slippery slope. The world, the word world here is cosmos. It's mentioned here as an entity hostile to God is the application of that. The world is hostile towards God. Our country is amazingly hostile towards God. I never thought I'd live to see it. We're living in a very challenging culture right now. But it's the world is always a seductive influence. It woos you into sin. It invites you into sin. In other New Testament verses, the word world, cosmos, means people. We have a worldly culture, but then you have people who try to talk you out of your relationship with God and so on. So the world competes for the love you have of God. It competes for that. It wants you to trade in your love for God and love the world. And John said, if you do that, you lose the love of God. It's not in you anymore. No matter what you say, you can't love God and the world at the same time. So the world competes for your love for God. James said in his epistle, and I'm concluding, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. The reason love for the world is incompatible with love for God is that everything in the world comes not from God, but from the world, a world system that was born out of evil and so on. The world is a system of values and goals from which God is excluded. In describing everything in the world, John specified its contents under three well-known phrases that effectively highlight the world's false outlook. Men of the world live for the cravings of sinful man. It's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are three areas. Cravings means lust and desires. It also means desires that are sinful. So the expression sinful man literally means flesh. The phrase refers particularly to illicit bodily appetites. So in conclusion, the expression of the lust of the eye points to man's covetous and greedy nature, the boasting of what he has and does, paraphrasing the Greek literature, the posturing of human life, which signifies a proud, showy, and flamboyant way of life. Christians ought not to have nothing to do with such worldly perspectives as these. I didn't finish my material tonight. We'll continue in the next Wednesday night or two. I will mention to you that we have a very pleasant surprise for this coming Wednesday night, a week from tonight, that I'm very excited about. And would you like to know what it is? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You'll just have to wait and see. So you should have known that was coming. So why don't we stand, everybody? Let's give the Lord some praise and appreciation for his presence. Thank the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord. God bless you so much. Thank you for being here. Y'all have some good fellowship before you go home. And God bless you, and y'all have a good night tonight.